Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callers on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, let's talk about black women in business. We're going to catch up a yarn there with our beautiful sister, Desenya Stanley, based down there in Rockhampton, and she's in business. Desenya has a strong desire to inspire and empower people across the nation to fulfill their individual purpose. On the line, Desenya, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Brother Trevor. How are you?
Very good, darling, very good. Thank you for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Thank you. So, Desenya Stanley, originally from Rockhampton, related obviously to all the Stanleys this way, and also White Hustles, and my grandmother comes from Eamon people, Eamon country. So,
beautiful.
The Eamon mob.
Fantastic. Now, you're the founding director of Destiny Designed.
Yes.
So, tell us about that deadly business that you got running there, and how long you've been in business this.
Yeah, so it's been an exciting journey for myself. I decided to step out into my own business at the end of last year, around September.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so then I could actually inspire and empower others and build, you know, capacity for the younger Indigenous mob that I and you know, the communities that I work in.
Mm.
And also it was around, how do I actually, you know, offer my skill sets and offer what I have learned and pass that on, and giving back to community?
Yes.
And I feel like I can do more of that by, you know, running my own business.
Okay. And a bit of background, what did you do before getting into businesses?
Worked for Department of Education. So for a number of years, worked for Department of Education, worked in non-for-profit organisations.
Mm-hmm.
Also with had a journey with banking and advertising design, and also most recently was the National Indigenous Australia's Agency, so Federal Government and Indigenous Affairs.
Yes.
Where I developed a lot of, you know, a lot of professional skills that has enabled me to create my own business and
step out and do your own business. Yeah, fantastic. So the name Destiny Design, explain the name there, please, sis.
I think it's just always been, I can remember probably going back about 10 years. I always just had that name, you know, Destiny and Designed, floating around in my head. And I kind of step back and go, well, it, you know, now come to pass.
Yeah, well, it's meant to be. So it was the birth was in your mind, in your heart, and your soul for many years, and now it's come to fruition. It's a business.
It is. It's a business. Yes. And yeah, like I said, really, really exciting journey to be on, and knowing that, you know, I can actually be a great role model for young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women.
So if someone was to ask, Destiny Design, okay, what business are you in? How would you explain that, sis?
Yeah, so I'm providing specialised services in Indigenous perspectives consultation.
Mm.
So, for example, I'm currently working with an energy company and CS Energy, and it's sort of, you know, doing deep dive work into their current policies and how they can actually increase their Indigenous participation for employment and engagement. And but it's not just about, hey, let's tick the boxes and get these numbers.
No.
It's actually about creating genuine grassroots relationships with the community.
Well, it's cultural awareness, that sort of stuff, and about building the bridges between relationships of their Indigenous staff and helping them grow in that field, in that industry, with that company. Yep.
Yes. So I don't deliver cultural awareness myself. I will actually utilise somebody else's expertise in that when it comes to that part of, you know, delivering that particular, you know, cultural awareness, because I don't necessarily have the expertise or the knowledge, especially on the local land that we work in.
But the, but so the fact that the company who's engaged Destiny's designed has a black person at the table, and through your contacts, you can help in a holistic approach in regarding making it work for that company, working with First Nation people, staff, and the community. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic.
Most definitely. Yeah.
So you stepped that last.
Within that too, I provide professional mentoring for, you know, professional mentoring and just facilitation and leadership development as well.
Good. Fantastic. And look, we can always do with that, you know, the old saying, we don't, you know, you don't have to be sick to get better. So in any way, we can always get better in all aspects of life. So fantastic. Now, you stepped out on your own to start your business last year, September, October, did you say?
Yes.
And now you've come into, well, that's September, October last year, wasn't it? That's 2020. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the middle of or coming to the, well, it's still in the middle of the so-called pandemic, COVID-19, people getting into business in that climate, so to speak, a big mountain to climb, but you've conquered it, so to speak. You're cruising through this pandemic while running a new business, yes?
Yeah, and I think there's certainly been times where, you know, you step back and go, oh, what am I doing? You know, especially going from a, you know, a salary into, you know, the unknown. But I think it's about really, you know, one, backing yourself, eliminating those fears. And it's okay to have those fears. But it's as long as, you know, we work through it. And to be honest, I'm enjoying this journey. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the journey that I'm on. And I've had some really great coaching and mentoring, you know, in place as well, that's enabled me to get here to where I am. And I certainly, you know, would not look back, and I do not lack work.
No, exactly, exactly. Mm. And it's about like stepping out, and you've done that. And they say everything that we want in life is outside our comfort zone. So you really got outside your comfort zone regarding leaving the salary into leaving the JOB into the business world. And that's what it's all about, is taking those risks, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. And it's, you know, how do we empower ourselves?
Exactly.
And that's, you know, and I want to be able to, you know, I look forward to when I'm in a position where I can actually really help and guide somebody else that's wanting to step into their own business.
Yeah, well, in an actual fact, your beliefs and how you live your life, you're virtually practicing what you're preaching, aren't you? I mean, leaving the JOB, start my own business, and then inspiring other people to be in business, or an opportunity to, close gaps as the vehicle that you're steering Destiny's design. So it all works together, doesn't it?
create our own destiny. We can do it.
Oh, beautiful. Well, good yarning with you. Now, someone wanted to get in touch with Destiny Design. You had a web page, or how do they contact you, sis?
Yes, I have a web page, and you can click www.destinydesign.com.au, and on there you can see my contact details, or you can click on the contact button, and it will take you directly to an email setting.
All right, fantastic.
Yeah.
The old saying they used to say is, I'll take anybody's money and talk to anybody with ears on, eh?
That's right.
Look, good to see another black person in business, a black woman at that. I'm a strong advocate in women. Girls can do anything, so more power to you, my sister. And,
thank you,
get to the top, don't forget me. I'll mow your lawn, I'll wash your car, I'll do anything.
How could I forget you?
That's right. Married to my cousin, of course. And big shout out to your beautiful husband, David Dow. I love him very much. And great talking with you, my sister.
Thank you, brother. And much love to you and the family.
Okay, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
a beautiful young lady, Desenia Stanley, her name is, founder and director of Destiny Design. So do check it out, all the www.destinydesigned.com.au. And look, another black woman in business, fantastic. And she focuses in on Indigenous perspective consultation, professional mentoring, facilitation, leadership development, and feasibility reports. So there it is. Check out her webpage and engage in that sister in business. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Possessions are causing me suspicion, but there's no proof. In the paper today, tales of war and of waste, but you turn right over to the TV page. Nayali Jaya, come on back.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
What up?
spirits of my ancestors. They are calling out for me to go back to my dream time that I'll never leave behind. To be initiated man, to keep my culture flowing in the land. Cook of the morning and the weary new tribe clan.
A very good morning, you Daily Bob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, we are the first peoples that is known. And another proven fact, oldest known rock art in Australia in 17,300-year-old kangaroo in the Kimberley. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with PhD student, lead author of the new paper, Damien Finch on the line. Damien, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And fantastic in the sense of you're part of the find in regard to the oldest known rock art in Australia. You've got to be fantastic with that, Damien.
It's been exciting. We've had lots of interest, and it's part of the reason why we do it. You know, it's no good doing the work. If you don't tell people about it at the end.
Exactly. Now, with such finding, and as a PhD student, in what field are you a student of?
Nowadays, I've finished, so I'd call myself a geochronologist.
Oh, geochronologist.
Yeah.
I know, they broke my jaw trying to pronounce it.
So it's combining two ideas, you know, geo for Earth and chronology for time. So, and there's a bunch of people in geology that are that usually work out how old rocks are, you know,
yes.
Mountains and landscapes. But they, over the years, they've developed techniques, and the idea of my supervisor, Professor Andy Galitto, was that we could apply those sort of rock dating techniques to see if we could date rock art.
Okay.
And that's really how it came about, and that's how I get the fancy title.
Okay, and with that fancy title and the work that you guys are doing, have come across the oldest known rock art in Australia, as I mentioned, 17,300-year-old kangaroo. So with that finding, of course, traditional owners are at the table and guiding you into the find, yep?
Absolutely, yes. We were only ever able to do this work because some of the other people on our team had already developed relations with the people at Culumbura mainly, but Ballingarra Aboriginal Corporation more generally. So there's sort of an element of trust there already.
And yes.
We went up there in 2015 and sat down with out in the field with some of the elders and as well as some of the younger traditional owners, and we took them through what we thought we'd try and do. We showed them how we would remove samples, how big the samples would be, what the risks might be. So they're in it right from the word go.
Good.
And then every time we went out in the field to take a sample, we would have traditional owners with us.
Fantastic.
Been with us every step of the way.
And every step of the way, you also communicated with the traditional owners and taken on board the precious moments and the dealings with the rock art. In regard to the wasps was mentioned, tell us about the wasps involvement, waspness.
Yeah, this comes about because the paint itself, this really old paint that was used, it's an iron oxide, which is an ochre, which has been used by First Nations people, forever.
Yes.
But there's nothing in it, nothing in that ochre, that iron oxide, that we can date with any of the known sort of scientific dating techniques.
Okay.
So we can't date.
You don't have the tools painting. To measure that by the paint that they use.
No, and I don't know if we ever will, because even if some way we could tell out how
it's
old
a secret.
That bit of ochre, how old the ochre was,
yes.
then there'd be a different time when it was actually put up on the wall, the painting. So we can't do that. But what we can do is that. Up in the Kimberley and other places like across the top end, like Arnhem Land, there are these mud wasp nests, and they've been building mud wasps in the same rock shelters where we find rock art for tens of thousands of years. And the thing about the wasps is that they don't respect the art so much. They're quite happy to build a nest over the top, and the artist.
But there's the footprint, there's the proof, and there's the educator, you could say.
Yes, but if it wasn't for the mud wasp nest, which sort of covered it, they're the only things we can date. We can date the mud wasps because they've got tiny bits of charcoal in them, and charcoal. We do know how to date use radiocarbon dating technique on it, and the tiny, tiny microscopic bits of charcoal in with the mud when they pick it up off the ground.
Yeah, now the old kangaroo, 70,300-year-old kangaroo rock art, found up there in the Kimberleys. Now, Kimberley is a rich traditional tradition of rock art, isn't it?
It's just absolute top-notch world heritage.
Yes.
It's the Kimberley and Arnhem Land too. In terms of paintings, we've got rock carvings down in the Pilbara, and they're absolute top rated world heritage as well. But the paintings in the Kimberley, it's just amazing how many there are in different rock shelters. They're not everywhere.
Yes.
But when you see them, it's just thousands and thousands of sites, and most of them are in pretty good shape.
Yes.
Because there's not many people there, and there hasn't been too much sort of mining and stuff, and so it's just fantastic to be get permission to go up there and work on this country.
And I'm loving that word permission. It shows respect and working with such very sensitive rock art and also the history of our people, First Australians. Do you find that it's a very wanting place to be for geologists across the globe?
Yes. Yeah, I think you'd have if you ever invite people up to the Kimberley to help you with your work, you never get any knockbacks.
Yeah, thank you. I hear you. I see you. Pick me. Yeah, pick me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a queue, and it is fantastic. That's why I got into this.
Yes, beautiful.
In 2010, I was with a little group that did a bushwalk in the Kimberley, and then did another one in 2011, just near where this painting, this really old painting is. And I just fell in love with the country. The country really got into my bones.
Good on you. So in actual fact, it was your calling in life, yes?
Yeah, it became, even though, you know, I'm not a young man. You know, most of the young blokes look at me and they say, that old fella over there. And that's exactly right.
Well, Brenda used to say, too old to marry, but too young to bury.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, it's so fantastic and very exciting. And so with this finding, I mean, it just goes to show how important First Nation people of this country, First Peoples of the world, you know, and it's here on this country. And I think the Australian people should grasp that and understand that and the precious of it.
Well, for me, the most fantastic thing was to open up. You know, Dan, I'm based in Melbourne at the moment, and one of the big newspapers down here is The Age, and it's been around for over 100 years, isn't it? And you know, you open up page 2, you know, turn the front page over, it's a big paper, and there, sitting right across page 2, page 3, is a picture of traditional owner who we work with, Ian Wainer.
Yeah.
Ian's from Kalumburu. He's a Queenie man. In Ballingarra country, and he's sitting there in front of this picture of the kangaroo, and I got to tell you, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, thought, beautiful. He was a part of that.
It's priceless, I think. So it does show respect. It shows that you know, one of the top newspapers in the country, and The Australian did something very similar too.
Yes,
you know, they might say all sorts of other funny stuff, you know, they are showing respect. They are reporting these findings, and they're reporting the role of traditional owners and their rock art.
And look, another proof of First Nation people existence way back 17,000 years, you know. So it's great to see, and it's great to see that First Nation people are at the table or at the rock, so to speak, in regard to the findings and sharing with you. They know it's there, but a geologist, it's a gold mine in the sense of the nature of the art, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing that it allows us to do is that, because as someone like Ian Wainer who takes visitors out on country and shows them, sometimes, you know, shows them some of these art sites, the first question that visitors will ask, whether they're from Australia or anywhere else in the world, they come from all over the place, almost always the first question is, yeah, well, how old is it? Now, because age, you know, like 10,000 years, 20, that means something to sort of people all around the world.
Sure.
Even though, you know, from an Indigenous perspective, it's been there forever.
Yes.
And that's true, because it's been there just proved it's been there for 600 generations. Now, if 600 generations isn't forever, I don't know what it is
exactly. It's very precious. Thank you very much for sharing. I think it's so fantastic, Damien. I'm feeling your excitement, and it's great for the First Nation mob up there at Kimberley, and it's fantastic. We are working together sharing it with the world. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Trevor. Wonderful to talk to you.
You take care, Damien. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Yander, Damien Finch, no longer a student, but lead author of the paper, the new paper, in regarding the oldest known rock art in Australia, and it's dated back 17,300-year-old kangaroo in the Kimberley, and, of course, using wasp nests to show, because they couldn't use the paintwork and the charcoal that they used, because they got no figure on dating that back. So they use wasp nests, and that dates back about 17,000-odd years. So there you go. There you have it. Have your say. Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
Welcome to Mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
This little tune came into my head. Was a little tune about all you bama, just dancing and having some fun.
And it goes something like,
hey brother, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. Hey sister, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. Now we've been everywhere in Cape York, from the north down to the south, from the east over to the west, 'cause black image gonna rock your sound.
And it goes something like,
hey brother, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now.
Hey sister,
you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. I say, hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I say, hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now we've been there
south, from the east over to the west. Cause black image gonna rock your sound.
And it goes something like,
hey brother, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. Hey sister, you follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. You follow too deadly now. I say hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I say hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I say hey, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I say hey.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on the deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, they say there's a new sheriff in town. Well, there's a new manager of the Wick and Coolgoo Arts Centre up there at Arrakoon, and his name is Gabe Waterman. Going to have a chat with the Deadly Lad on the line. Gabe, good morning. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
I'm well, my brother. I'm well. Now, non-Indigenous brother, welcome to the family in regard to adoption there with the mob at Arrakoon. And now you have been appointed the manager of the Wick and Coolgoo Arts Centre. So tell us who Gabe Waterman is.
So like my family, we go back in Arrakoon until the early 1980s, where my dad, was adopted with the Pinekinner family. They took him in and they were working out on the outstations there, taking families out on country and, doing the barge service across the rivers and that. A bit of a almost 40 plus years of relationship there, which we're pretty proud of. So, yeah.
Good, brother. Good, good. So what about art? You got a bit of background in art?
Yeah, I've got some background in art. I've done some design work in Melbourne for a few years before I went to university. Travelled across the world a little bit in relation to that. So got a bit of experience. So my experience in art is all about 4 or 5 years since I finished my studies.
Yes.
So, and since then it's taken a bit of a directional turn to more of the art and cultural side of things and facilitating and working with elders to, teach their culture to the younger generation.
Yeah, beautiful. Look, I think it's fitting, my brother, and the fact that you've been adopted there to the mob up there at Arrakoon, and the Wikugu Arts Centre is very well known, and that's international as well, especially with their camp dog carvings called the Koo, they're very, very popular, and so you're working in a good space with some very talented artists, brother.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've got our, established artists here and that, so... a lot of the times it's about just making sure the studio and the workshop's all functioning, the materials and the tools are sharp and all that. And then my job is to, reach out and try and bring a little bit of the income in for the families here and, support them in their cultural practices, yeah.
Look, fantastic. And I know the Wick and Coolgoo Arts Centre has been in the same circle as KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, which is very well known and very popular. And because of the COVID-19 put a spin on things globally with all businesses and families and life itself. So you've got to be working with the mob on the social media space, don't you, in this day and age?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. We're in the digital age,
exactly.
You've got to kind of get up to date with certain things. But you know, we're trying to do a bit of, you know, we're trying to keep the integrity with the art forms and that and the stories, and using a bit of the media as another avenue to, you know, allow Wiccan-Kugal people to express themselves in their own stories to the world, basically. So,
yes,
yeah, good.
Look, it is fantastic, and art is a powerful tool for our mob, you know. You know, and we're talking about putting a word out there, you know, as long as living culture on planet Earth, and we are storytellers, and art is one of the vehicles that we use, yes?
Yeah, that's true. We're actually trying to bring a bit more education as well around Wiccamunkin, which is one of the last strong languages in Queensland spoken. So, you know, it's one of the rare sort of heritages that, you know, is spoken as a first language, with English being a second language here in the community.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just another opportunity for, you know, the clan groups to be able to, you know, educate Australian people and maybe the world around, you know, the importance of, you know, keeping that language and that culture strong through artwork like what we produce here at the Wiccan-Kugal Art Centre.
Yeah, excellent, my brother. The other thing that comes to mind as well is with their young ones, you know, when they see the their elders, their uncles, if not their grandmothers and grandfathers doing the artwork, it can even steer them into that path, you know, and a good future for them.
Yeah, that's true. It's always good to make a space here for the young fellas to come in and, you know, take their time and look what their uncles and, you know, grandfathers are doing, and you know, there's a cultural process for these younger generations to picking up the tools and joining in.
Yes.
So you know, we're making sure that space is providing those opportunities for those young kids as well. Yeah.
Look, you're working in a good space, my brother, and look, as the community have accepted you well, so you deserve that position as the manager of the Wiccan-Kugal Art Centre. So congratulations, my brother. We'll be in touch, and of course, we'll probably see you at the next CIAF or whenever you in Cairns, drop and see us at Bumma Bipper as well, brother.
All right, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it.
You take care, Gabe. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'll follow. Bye.
Adela Yarn there with the new appointed manager of the Wiccan-Kugal Art Centre up there at Aurukun, Gabe Waterman. And look, him and his family, especially his father, adopted by the Aurukun mob up there. Non-Indigenous brother, but joined at the hips now in regard to working closely with the mob up there for many years, and now working as the manager of the Wiccan-Kugal Art Centre. So congratulations to Dudley. Have your say here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Gather round people. Let me tell you a story. An 8-year-old story of power and pride. British Lord Vesty and Vincent Glengarry. We're opposite men on opposite sides. Vesty was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean and spoke very little. He had no bank balance, her debt was his floor. From little things, big things.
Yeah, from little things, big things grow here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Yana. We've got someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Brother, that Negro fella, you know, that went to the Sawyer, to the restaurant there, I forgot his name. I think he's going up to cook there.
Yeah. Greg, is it?
Yeah, brother.
Greg,
eh?
Hmm.
And he's Mrs. from Mauritius. She's Mauritian, eh, brother?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Michelle. Well, you know, Michelle, Samantha, and another fella, when that's what you say, who are your mob?
Exactly.
Samantha. They're Joseph, my brother. Remember Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah, Mauritius too, eh, brother?
Townsville.
Yeah, Mauritius.
He is too, yes, that's right, exactly.
when you see them, oh, your mob, they call each other because we can, it's good that they contribute, brothers. And same with Greg. Is it Greg, eh?
Yes. Big shout out, Greg, Michelle.
Yeah. Anyway, brother, as you know, I was telling you, I'm on social media, and one of the things when you, a lot of the times they say things when you have got the racist fellows, and they say, oh, get off the pipe. What do they say? And with us, with our mob, you know, like Waverley and all of us, one day we'll have a prime minister, we'll have a black prime minister, and we go over there, we talk about Obama and all that. But I like to say, Avail Michael Somare, brother, I feel choked up now.
Yeah.
That was a dress for years, brother, for us, brother. That's a dress for years.
Father PNG, yeah, brother.
There, you know, we don't look in the Pacific or the party like screwing us friends in the F word. I white myself. But the black fellas, we can do it, brother. We can do it. We can have black prime minister, brother.
It'll happen.
And anyway, yeah, I had one of Oprah's, light bulb moment. Just on Saturday, I had this, and you know, I like to channel Chris Graham, and to fight racism, you reflect or mirror back the only hypocrisy and double standard, brother. that one was that Jennifer Ward, the vigilante, they killed her down in the town there, brother, and they want to say it's blackfellas' fault, but of course, Chris Fairley down on the Gold Coast, the police don't do it, that's why the choppers were there on the weekend. They can't do police pursuit, brother. He got charged for that. And then he was chasing other white fellows.
Well, innocent people get hurt.
But anyway, when Jennifer Ward got killed, and even on social media, brother, what that pisses me off is when they collectively attack us, you know, our ethnicity. And they all collect us. But there's a core group, the government and officials that tell us, or tell them public, it's a core group, just like those Northside all-white youth group in Brisbane. And they make our black girls up here, they make us look like, make our mob look like preschoolers. But anyway, because they attack us collectively all together, and my light bulb moment is this, brother, you know when they say, oh, we wasn't, when they talk about the past, or it wasn't us, it was those people from the past, you can't blame us for the things collectively, what they've done in the past. Well, same way with us. They want to say we're all the same, brother. But one of my things, pushback from that is the Italian mafia also, and the Jewish people are Zionists. Not all people are Zionists. Not all people are into mafia. They stopped that now in the papers, but because of Frank Lanzi, when he became our Italian consul, they used to always make insinuate that all people that were Italian were into crime.
Which so is not the case.
They knocked that in the head. They didn't do that no more. And, you know, I often hear you say, brother, and you're right too, brother, when you say, oh, we're not always, they say we're flora and fauna. But that hasn't happened. Because when they refer to us collective, because we're all the same indigeneity, what they're doing is, brother, we're going to always be the other. You know, we're not going to be a human being. We're always the other. I reckon that's why they do it. They collect. You know, they still dehumanize us. And like that fellow that stabbed the blokey up at the Central. When all them white fellas, all the serial killers and all they do, you know, like Martin Bryant and all that, they are allowed to be different. They're not all the same.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Different. And all those people are the rip-off artists.
You got a point there.
Like the big CEO from the banking institution, financial and banking, when they done all that, they ripped off even their own dead white people, brother. And our little young people get in prison for bread chips and softly go. I feel like swearing, brother. But not this way, but
control.
I'm glad I have a voice to hear. Yeah, brother. But and another one more before I finish, brother. There was I think give you hope, brother. Somebody posted somebody's license. Murray woman, I think she could be from my own community on Palm. They posted a thing on the Cairns crime site, and they found this license of theirs down on the northern end of Esplanade. And she was the only one that had something racist to say, and all the other people, all they stuck it up there, but they don't muck around. And one of them said, "You could have taken that to the cop in the white." And now she had to put it on them. But I think more and more it's good to see on it, because, like I said, the pen is sharper than the sword. But you know, we don't use a pen; we use that thing. Then
keyboard warriors now.
And on the success to too, brother, on success. It depends on who defines success. And to them, all them little ass wife and ass husband like me, stay at home, ass husband like me, single parent. I'd like to tell a story about Goldie Hawn. You know, the ultimate success is being successful in Hollywood. But she dropped out for a while. I saw her in Sikkim. She dropped out. Mm. And she said she was going on her way to Canada to support her son, play hockey. And she said, this for those people that, not a Jonathan Thurston or a lot of them followers that are out there, that's good that they're doing that. But people like me, like, I've still foot falcon back and forth to school for my kids. Their mother from Harlequin, and they're doing all right there at school. And they didn't have to go today, but a couple did go, even though it was cyclone, you know. They love school. But anyway, brother, one of the things that Goldie Hawn said, if you missed out on looking after your mum, you know, feed your mum when she got Alzheimer's or something like that, or you know, like little things like taking your kids to school, all the little things that define the success, you know, like, because of capital, they define what success. Or do things that, like, housewife, she said this, if you don't do those things, you missed out on life. You know, like feeding your kids and all them little things.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Ed, to your daily program, National Talk Black. News coming up very soon.
Time for recognition. See, before our dark past, we had a black history. Now, I ain't pointing no fingers and I ain't pushing no blame. I ain't silly.